Guess so.
All right, I'd like to call the May 12th fiscal year 2015 budget hearing to order. I'm Councilman John Cartier. My aide, Brian Holiver, is taking the minutes. We don't have a quorum in the room yet, but I'd like to recognize Councilmember Kilpatrick here, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Retta, Councilman Streeter here. If I could, I'd just like to exercise a little privilege of the chair. The Ethics Commission chairperson or attorney has asked if she could go first on the agenda. If that would be all right with members of council that are here, we'll allow them to go first.
Sure.
And today we've got a number of different budget presentations, so I want to move it along. I'd like to call Rosemary Killian up to the table to present the FY 2015 Ethics Commission budget request.
My name is Rosemary Killian. I'm counsel to the commission. The commission chair is here today to make the presentation of the annual report and the budget. Thank you.
All right. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Johanna Bishop. I'm the chair of the Ethics Commission. And I just want to say that we are requesting the budget as page numbers are not numbered, but it's in this yellow booklet here, and it's on page 4. Yeah. And if you've taken a look at that, is there anybody who has any questions? It doesn't vary much from last year. It's basically the same. The Ethics Commission seems to be very good at holding the budget to the way it is. Are there any questions about the budget? Okay. There are no questions about the budget. You were also, I believe, given in February, somewhere around February, the annual report.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at page 6 on the annual report, you will see that that the commission is doing a fairly good job, I think an outstanding job, on managing its complaints. All the complaints are handled within 30 days or less. Right now we have 2 open complaints that we're investigating and dealing with. In 2013 we received 9 new complaints, and 4 of the complaints were dismissed without an investigation, and 5 were open for investigation. And of the 5, we have 2 of them that are ongoing right now.
I'd like to take a moment take care of some business. I'd like to recognize that Councilman Tackett has joined us. We now have a quorum.
Motion to approve the minutes of previous budget hearing.
Second.
All right, motion to approve the minutes of the Community Services budget hearing. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the budget hearing minutes of the Community Services budget hearing of May 5th have been approved. Okay, may continue.
Okay. So the only other thing that I would just like to say, and the Ethics Commission is very quick and very expedient. We are down 2 Ethics Commissioners this year. One of them is a council appointment, and one of them is an executive appointment. And we would like to ask for your help and assistance in creating a council appointee as soon as possible, because we're down to 5 commissioners right now. So we're always in danger of not having a quorum, and that would be disastrous. Do you have any questions for me about the Ethics Commission?
I just have a comment, and maybe you could just elaborate for the record. We went through a process of crafting new legislation to broaden the scope of the financial disclosure. Maybe
yes.
If you just want to talk about that, which was adopted by County Council.
We did one, and the Ethics Commission Council ran several focus groups last year to see what everybody wanted on the statement of financial interest, and to broaden that just to make sure that we had no conflicts with spouses or significant others or family members. We're in the process of reviewing SFIs right now, and we are we're on target, right? 85% complete. It's working well. I mean, the change does not seem to have impacted anybody in any way.
But you will implement that standard
next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. We're working on the new web, or we have the new website already built.
Yes.
We're working on the new website.
That's
been a challenge. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions, comments from members of council about the budget fiscal year 2015 request for the Ethics Commission. Okay, thank you, and we appreciate all the service you render.
Thank you.
To good government.
I have someone for you, but prohibition is an intention.
Rosemary Killian again, could I just say thank you on behalf of the task force that was assembled this year? There were participants in this room who were very faithful about coming in and talking through all the conflicts and issues so that we ended up with a unanimous recommendation to the commission, and it was a worthwhile process. And I was at every meeting, so I guess I'm the most appreciative of the people who participated in that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Taggart.
Thank you, Mr. Rosemary, just, I mean, just as like some comments to share, you know, quickly. Obviously, you know, you do a great job over there. You've been there for a long time, and the job that the Ethics Commission does is extremely important. You know, obviously the complaints you get, you know, have to be handled in certain ways, and you brought us legislation, and we've taken, and we've, you know, been willing to work with you on that. And you've been challenged a couple times, and you've stood your ground and successfully done that. So that obviously shows what a great job you're doing, as well as the commission you have. I think there's a commitment here that, you know, we're going to work on trying to get you the council appointment, and I'm sure the executive shares the same concern, because obviously being short of the full complement does compromise your ability to handle your business, and that's something that we need to make sure that we're doing, is keeping you where you need to be. So thanks for sharing that. I think you do a great job with interacting with this council and sharing with us what you need, and especially with the legislation and working on that, and you work very hard and diligently on that. So I just want to thank the commission for that.
The commission is holding a seminar this month. I think everybody's been notified. We certainly would welcome participation for council, because it is, the seminar on ethics is directed at leadership and creating a better ethical culture with all the employees who work for the council and or the administration. So we welcome everybody. I wish you would come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize that Councilman Bell has joined us. And then moving along, administrative services. Who's presenting for administrative services?
I will be.
Okay, please have a seat. Identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, thank you.
Tony Gardner, Chief Administrative Services. Good afternoon, everyone. If you can go to the page number 2, actually. As you can take a look, we've actually got a reduction of 4% based on last year. And one of the things that took place is that we moved operating expenses over to capital, and pretty much it was PCs and the servers that we moved over from operating to capital. So that's part of the reduction of 4%. Okay. If you go to page 3, you can see the breakdown by divisions, and the majority of the spend comes from the IS department, followed by purchasing. Okay. Page 4, we have a total of 42 positions that we're requesting. As you can notice on this chart on page 4, it's trending down. We're down from 46 is a high in 2009, we're at 42, we're recommending for 2015.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Bell.
Just a question on the 42. Are you actually doing away with an unfilled position, or is it through attrition? Or?
It's through attrition.
Through attrition.
So over that time, it's through attrition, like folks retire and then replace them.
And what position is that?
Mostly in IT. There's different positions in IT. Program analysts.
Thank you.
Councilman Spahn.
Yep. No, I didn't get there.
Okay.
No, it's okay. I went searching, that's all.
Okay. as you look at page 5 here, you can look at the breakdown of the percentage of costs. As you can see, most of the cost is coming from personnel, followed by contractual services. So those two are the biggest hit. It takes up at least 80%, almost 90% of the spend there. Page 6 is really just giving you more in detail information systems, so if you have any questions, let me know. It's just more of an in-depth breakdown on IS.
I'd like to recognize Councilman Sheldon doing this.
Okay, page seven is a breakdown about diversity, and we pretty much have a good diversity group in regards to female versus male, but also we have a good breakdown in regards to ethnic breakdown as well. It's about 40% split female-male, 60%, 60-40 actually, I should say, male-female, and about 30% in breakdown in regards to diversity, ethnic diversity. Okay, page eight. You can see the reduction. We talked about attrition is one of the things in the salary and wages. We had a reduction of $35,000, and that's because of, say, if a person retires, a new person comes in, that new level person is going to be much lower than the person that retired, much lower level. So you can see that that's the difference there of $35,000. On page nine, we have, under wages, we have a program analyst that's unfunded, and we actually got one reduced. So we're still looking to restructure IT. So that's what we're working on right now, restructuring IT and making sure that we want to keep all the positions that we have listed here, but we're looking to restructure going into the second quarter, but actually third quarter, I should say. Okay, so I'm going to jump to page 13. I wanted to have my my staff speak on some of the things we accomplished, one item, and some of the things that's a challenge. So I'll turn it over to Dan first in regards to IT.
Dan Turquist, Executive Office. One of the biggest accomplishments that IS was able to provide this year was the forward-facing public website that we recently revamped. It's every corner of IS, every corner of the county involved in it. So that is one accomplishment that we're very excited about. One challenge that we have coming up is our virtualization, or VDI specifically, where we'll be streaming out operating systems, and we're kind of fading away from computers. It's very modern technology, and that's something we're really excited for.
Okay, Patrick.
Patrick Susie, I'm with the GIS Services, the GIS Administrator for Newcastle County. Our major accomplishment that we were able to get through this year was rolling out the new mapping on our website. We were able to hire a consultant to write the base of the application, but they've turned it over to us now, and we're pretty much self-sufficient. We're not going to rely on contractors at this point to do any maintenance on our system. The old legacy system that we replaced with this was 15-year-old technology, and we required a consultant to come in for any little change we needed to make. So this is going to end up saving money in consultant fees, in addition to providing a lot better services for the constituents of the county. And for our challenges, we work directly with the police, and they're going to a new CAT system. The New World CAD system, and all of the data that's behind that is going to be directly driven by the GIS information. So we have to make sure that all of our data is standardized with the rest of the state so that it'll work seamlessly and that we won't have any issues with responses. That's it.
Okay, thanks.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with analyzing and doing the switch over to New World, who actually does that work? What position would be doing, analyzing, I guess, the system and how effective it is and what's available and how it interfaces and all that?
The system is, there's many players all the way from the police who are deciding what they need to have reported out of that to the IT group that's going to build the infrastructure that it's going to sit on. And the GIS services, we just build all the data. Much like we have for our regular maps, we have to build the data in a way that when a phone call comes in and they were given an address or they're given an extra unit based on cell phones, that they know what fire department to send, what paramedic unit's closest, whether or not there's any history at that location. So all that stuff is built in the background so that the call takers, as soon as they answer the phone, they have all that information in front of them. and there's no surprises for the officers or paramedics when they get to the scene.
And I get, that's where my question was leading, that with reducing by one program analyst, does that have any impact whatsoever in your ability over the next year to serve public safety and the other IT commitments?
That position's not being lost out of my section, so I'm going to defer to.
What I was going to add to that was, this is more of a state project. This is
Please identify yourself for the record.
Daniel Sherquist, Executive Office. The Newcastle system is a Delaware state, which Newcastle County and Sussex are all involved. So it's actually the state's property, but it's our information that will retain on it. So if you would have to refer to the state, I'm the person who would be responsible for that.
Okay. And I guess the thrust of my question is just the fact that if, in fact, we're reducing a position, that if it wasn't an unfunded position, it's not being filled, you know, because of attrition, is that, you know, is there any future need for that, for our customer service within the county? So, thank you.
Okay, thanks. And also in regards to procurement, one of the highlights that we had was gov deals. We actually have sold 747,000 surplus items on gov deals since 2010. Mm-hmm. So that's been a great program since 2010. Another item I wanted to mention.
How much is the gross on that sales?
The gross, that is actually the gross amount, 747,000.
Oh, that's the actual total amount.
747,000. Okay. Also, another item I wanted to mention is that we had a great minority business forum back in February. I've been meeting with some of the suppliers, so that's been a really good positive program back in February. One of the challenges I want to mention in regards to procurement is that, looking at the code, I met with council last week. One of the things we do want to do is to change the code to help more transparency, but also centralize that process in regards to procurement out of special services. So that's one of the challenges that we're looking at to accomplish this coming fiscal year.
And just to give further detail, your plan is to move the group in special services that does the procurement for our capital projects over into your administrative services division?
Correct. And it's just actually one or two people at most. That's going to be making that transition. So we'll be able to cross-train these folks eventually so other buyers can do what they do and they can do what other buyers do as well. Okay. So that's all I actually have. Any questions?
Any questions, comments from members of council?
Mr. Gardner, I really appreciate your willingness to dig down and find out information from your suppliers and potential suppliers. I just think that it makes a lot of sense to do the research, and I commend you for your efforts.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments about the fiscal year 2015 administrative services budget recommendation? Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for your presentation. We're going to move along. I think what we're going to move to next is human resources. Fiscal year 2015 human resources budget. Ms. Dunning.
Good afternoon, folks. For those who don't know me, I'm Christine Dunning, Chief Human Resource Officer. I'll go through the presentation, and I had some handouts I was going to have pass around too, so for you guys to get a different perspective of things here in HR. Of course, the first page is our organizational chart, and one of my persons is charged half to the benefits section and half to the employee services. That's why you see the 0.5 for that particular thing. You have 5.5 for benefits and then 13.5 for employee services. We currently have one vacancy that we had posted for hiring. We had an employee that accepted a position in the county with the police department. So we're currently down one that has been posted, and we have one other unfunded position, which is going to stay unfunded, the HR assistant. Page two, recommended budget up slightly 2.23. I'll get into things a little bit more with cost-wise, but if you were to look at page three, a bulk of anybody's organization is their personnel cost. And later, of course, some things that we've also seen too, of course, is pension costs are starting to go up a little bit trending work, because you've got to realize, you've got two populations. You have your current active ones, and then you have over 1,300 plus people that are your retired folks from with the county. Page four, we are going to still recommend that we stay at 19 that we were the previous year. Diversity. Currently, our position that we posted for, we received over 200 applications. In reality, a diversity would be, we're predominantly, human resources has a tendency to be predominantly female-oriented, so it would be great if we could get some male candidates. We had a couple that did apply, so we'll see how everyone goes through the process. One component I am adding to the HR position is a writing sample. We have done that in the past, and with human resources, when you're investigating complaints, say hostile work environments or grievances or other things, we really do feel that you should have some workable knowledge of being able to write. So that is a key point, and we'll do that writing sample before we actually go on to an interview phase and then a selection process.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Powers has joined us.
If you can go to page six for me, please, and we'll go through a little bit more of a breakdown of things. Salary and wages are up 1.6%. That's the projection. As you realize, part of that too is also due to periodic merit increases that our employees have to receive. We have up to 10 steps. Employee benefits, that is up 2.1%. I can eventually, maybe later on, give council a chart in reference to the health care costs, because we did notice this quarter that we had really went up our first quarter in our health care costs. We were wondering what was going on, and we found out that if we compared the first quarter with last year's quarter, we had 22 claims that were essentially very catastrophic, meaning the costs were over $175,000 versus last year's quarter, which was only 7. So this is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. The costs are a little bit slightly increased if you look at it overall. And then later on in June 23rd, you'll have a presentation, I think we're in reference to the Cadillac tax that will be for council. One increase, if you go down to contractual services, being up 4.3%, we had not included, we included in this budget, $9,600 increase for random drug testing. That was not included, I think, last year, and we do random drug screening and testing of our employees. And of course, some of you know it is required for some of our CDL licenses and stuff. Equipment, there's nothing in the budget here, but for those who use our gym, we should hopefully by next week get two new elliptical machines. They were 2006 model, had a lot of mileage on them. When we priced it out to look at for a fitness gym in reference to what would be cost to fix it, it was just worth, you know, sometimes getting new equipment. Hopefully you can get another good 5 to 7 years out of that, those pieces of equipment. But there's nothing budgeted for the fitness center next year. The fixed cost, the 12.3%, that is a liability because of our pension. I'll pass this one chart around. It has, unfortunately I didn't bring enough copies, it just sort of gives you a little bit about the age of our workforce and how many years, percentage-wise, people have where they are with the county. Another sheet I'll pass around is, if you were to look back from 1999 up to so far current year of 2014, these are full-time, our hires, and then also there are people that are separated. If you notice in that thing list, it's been keeping pretty steady for the last 5 or 6 years. And one of my things that we try to help is we really are trying to work on meeting at least quarterly. Cheryl and I meet to address, hopefully, grievances. I'll pass this around. This is the last couple years with the grievances by union and the number. Right now, we are trending downward, and we're hoping to keep that the trend down with an open communication with them. Believe me, it's better to work it that way instead of paying some major arbitration costs or being hit with something court-wise going against the county. If we can go to page 11, it talks about some of the accomplishments this year. The paramedics, of course, understandably, that was one of the most diverse classes that we have in currently right now. One thing that's a little bit different, and it's not reflected here in this accomplishments, is each department now, when they post a position, is required to come up with a recruitment plan, and that has to be approved. I know I try to tell you we try to keep things within 3 months with the process, but we feel it's important that each department, depending on what position, has a recruitment plan instead of doing the traditional things that we have in the past, because the way you would recruit for an architect would be a little bit different versus maybe, say, a mechanic. So those plans have to be first approved, and then HR, with the help of the department, helps implement them. One other thing which we want to do next year, and it's not on here, we had a career fair. We had over 600 people attend. We find normally that's usually better to do in the springtime because we need a lot of folks for the seasonal help coming up, you know, with the cutting grass and doing all the different things that you need to get done. The physical security and human resources, of course, all the file cabinet rooms, it's pretty much all locked. There's a secured area where all the files are kept. There is controlled access into human resources. Not every employee can get in. There is a controlled access. There's a phone outside. For some reason, a lot of our employees will let us know if they have to come in. One thing, though, is nice now. We have two separate areas that if an employee has to come in and discuss things and it's of a private nature, they have a separate room with a computer. They can sit down with our employees so we don't have to worry about them discussing their business with everyone, you know, hearing it out there on the floor. For 2015, some of our challenges, of course, one is training, and one other thing which is not on here, which we are working with departments to, is what we call consider career ladder. The police department, the paramedics have established career ladders. We're working with other departments too, because we have to recognize what we call a balance. What I'm saying, a balance is you have the people that you bring in and you do open recruitment. You also have to make sure that your employees that you have currently with the county, that you are helping them set up career goals and also providing them with the training that they may need to exceed to the next level. So what I'm saying is a little bit of a combination as far as people coming into the county and then also being able to promote people up within that are county employees. And that's why I say what I refer to as the balance. Technology, most of the people who apply here for the county, it is online. We do realize sometimes that not everyone has computers. Recently when we had the career fair, we had the computer lab open for people to help fill out their applications and also to help you know, the libraries and setting and everything to help people fill out things. But we probably have over 95% of the people fill out applications online, except for our seasonal employees. That's the only one recently. We had over 300 come this past weekend for the community services. I'm not going to be, I'm trying to hit as many points as I can. I have data here later if you're interested in how many people got flu shots. We're trending a little bit slightly less for people using HMS services, only by about 4 when compared to the year before.
What is HMS?
HMS is our employee provider for counseling, whether it's maybe for marital counseling, finance, grief support. It's our contracted vendor that we have.
Questions?
Yes,
Councilman Tappan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Christine, I had heard some feedback that with the process that you described about applying for positions online, that some applicants thought they were applying and they hit everything, but the application wasn't actually received and there wasn't a confirmation, I guess, back. Yes, we've received your application. It's being reviewed. Have you had any problems like that? Or
nothing has been brought to my attention. I was going to ask maybe even some of our staff, if Kelly, if you've seen, has anyone?
Yeah.
If you can state me.
Kelly Tomchuk, Human Resources. Some of the applications we receive, if an applicant might skip a section or not complete the application correctly, we see what is called a draft notice. So what we do is when we receive the draft notice is contact that applicant back and send them a letter and include a paper application and say that we received a draft application, it wasn't complete, please submit additional information. So that's how we get around that. We do have a new applicant tracking system.
So you don't have, you've not had really any issues where applications have been actually, when somebody applies, they actually get a confirmation back saying thank you for applying or something like that?
Correct. If they apply correctly, they'll get that confirmation back. Sometimes when they don't, it might be a glitch in the system, something happening with the Explorer program being used, if they're not using the right application. People sometimes work better with certain applications than others. We do get the draft and we do notify them.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief, looking at the breakdown of employees by age, the analysis, would it be possible to maybe get a further analysis to show when we look at like 85 employees in the 26 to 30 year category, is there some way that we could take a look at where they fall in the different departments? And my primary interest is in our paramedic program, because we've talked for many years now about the percentage of folks getting above 55, 60 years old and still active on the street. So if there's some way that we could take a look at that, maybe kind of see how it impacts, especially public safety, it would be interesting for us.
Okay, and we'll be able to break that down. We have the whole list, and so we'll look at the department.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Councilman Street.
I think the figure was $9,600 additional dollars for random drug testing. I'm hoping that when folks test positive, they have access to the employee assistance program, and I'm hoping that works across the board. And well, is that true?
That is true. When we get, and it's, everything is kept extremely confidential, when we are notified of it, we bring the employee in. There is a program that is mandated. A lot of times, too, is once the employee will bring back their completion certificate that they completed the program to Human Resources, and you know that person is offered a chance. You know, they come back to their position. Now, if we start having someone where they're like going into additional drug screen failings and everything, then there is a little bit of a problem, and we follow our disciplinary and code procedures with that. We have to proceed with some kind of termination, but employees are given services first and provide with that, with the treatment plan. Now, sometimes we have one employee, they basically said, listen, I'm resigning, and I'm working somewhere else now. But we do work with the individuals.
Basically, how many chances do I get if I fail a drug test? 1, 2, 10, 20?
Two.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilman Smiley?
I don't want to go off target. I just want to ask, is that for everyone? Or are there various for different situations? I'm just curious, because you mentioned the CDL, and I know most contracts that I was involved with, if it was a DOT physical and they popped positive, they got another chance.
And plus, you get a reconfirming test, too, just to make sure.
If it was a random and they were still on site, then they get another chance. But if it was a random where they were called out on the road and they were operating the equipment, and it was a positive, it was a termination. So I don't know how familiar, I mean, you just got to worry, I don't know how familiar you are. I can look in the collective, but I don't know if their collective bargaining agreements cover this or not. Because
it does not get very specific.
I know, you know, federal law requires a DOT physical, you have to have one in place, but I'm not too sure how the rest of the county's been going, because I know I actually submitted my name as part of the random process when I first came in, but never been tested yet, so probably tomorrow. Not a problem.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from members of council on the Human Resources FY25-15 budget requests? Councilman Street.
You've been in the chair, I don't know how long, but for a good part of this year, and I just want to commend you and the administration. To me, year to date, you've only got 10 grievances. It's a great job. Greatly appreciate it. Greatly respect. I'm always talking about when I was parks director, I used to get that many a month.
I can believe it.
Councilmember Diller.
You are doing that writing sample on site, right?
Correct, yes, because I don't want people coming in and having people help the individuals, and plus it's better that everyone gets a scenario all at the same time.
Just asking as a teacher.
Well,
I would also like to commend you on the additional data that you're presenting as part of your budget presentation. I think this is the first time I've actually had some in-depth data from Human Resources on
I forgot to pass one other document around too, so I'll give it to you guys to look at. That's just the overall stats, two-sided for HR.
Excellent. All right. With that, going once, going twice. Any other questions, comments?
So if I remember correct, I owe one report for this council person for the breakdown for the agents, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Duly noted.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll entertain the Office of Law. Fiscal year 2015 recommended budget.
Good afternoon, Council.
Yes.
Bernard Pepukai, County Attorney, on behalf of the Office of Law. Today I have with me the County Solicitor, Mr. Bill Parson, as well as our Risk Manager, Ms. Cheryl McDonough, and our Budget Analyst, Ms. Marie Walker. I believe each of you have a copy of our budget book. If you take a moment to open it up, I'll just go through it as briefly and consistently as possible. Starting on the first page, basically it just indicates how we have basically the structure of the Office of Law, and we're currently asking for 23 positions in this fiscal year. Going to the second page, we are making our recommended budget at $3,631,748, which is an increase of approximately 1.9%. This increase is mostly due to employee salaries and employee benefits. I would also like to know that this recommended budget that we are asking for is holding the line at a bare minimum, especially in light of what it has cost to run the Office of Law in previous years. Going to page number three, you can see a breakdown of how our budget is allocated. Specifically, approximately 47.5% goes to workers' compensation, 43.8% goes to Office of Law Legal Services, and 8.7% goes to Risk Management Medical, which includes our any non-work-related medicals such as physicals, psychological evaluations, and CDMs. On page four, again, we are asking for a total of, for fiscal year 2015, 23 positions. On page five, this is our diversity breakdown. Basically, out of the positions we currently have, I'm not going to go through the numbers, I'll just tell you the percentages to make it easy for you. 80% of our office is female, 40% of our office is ethnic minorities. Going to page six, as you can see, it is just simply a comparison between our recommended budget for 2015 and our approved budget for 2014. Going to page seven, budget details. Basically, the highlight of this page is under contractual services, where we had a reduction of 3.21%. That is mostly due to our elimination of our third-party administrator as it relates to workers' compensation. Forward in the page eight is just more the same thing of the following previous page. Really no highlights there, just the breakdown of comparisons. And page nine shows an adjustment for a position, which is one executive assistant position.
If we could just pause for a minute. Councilman Redd had a question.
Certainly.
Thank you. On page seven, the contractors' services,
yes,
down
sir.
The bottom,
yes,
says
sir.
The 800. How was that established on that of the net decrease due to the facts? How was that brought in? Like the third party utilize a third party administrative?
I'm sorry, I don't think I understand.
Well, how is you got a minus 3.21%?
Correct.
How was that established? Bringing that down to that.
Previously, in previous years, we had a third party administrator who basically did our billing for our workers' compensation cases. Currently, what we did was we eliminated that, and we started doing things in-house to be a little bit more efficient. And as a result, we had savings in that area.
Now, that came out of, does that come out of risk management?
That's come out of workers' compensation.
Yeah, but I mean through risk management?
Yes. Moving forward, if we can go to page 11. Which are our accomplishments. Many of these accomplishments are things that we did in previous years. I'm not gonna bore each of you with the repetitive nature of it, but the one thing that I would like to highlight as our accomplishment is that we were able to maintain within our approved budget this year. And the bottom line is we don't anticipate, or at least I'm trying my best not to have to come back to council for any additional money. And if you go back to the previous pages, I think it was page three, when we talked about our difference between our recommended budget for 2015 versus our approved budgets for all the previous years, even though those budgets that were approved were significantly higher than what we actually had in 2014, they were even higher than what is showing on the chart, because these were only the approved budgets. And well over a decade, each year we have had to come back to council to get more money. Except for 2006, I think we have come back every year since about 2002, if I'm not mistaken. So I just want to show you the significance of that accomplishment, and this was no small feat. Going forward to page 12, our challenges and goals, again, I'll just highlight a few of them as far as our challenges are concerned. One is to reduce the reliance on outside counsel where prudent. It's a real challenge considering that we don't control a lot of the litigation and the activity that we have to handle concerning legal matters in the county, and containing the cost of medical treatment for injured workers, as well as to have greater efficiency in our e-discovery practices. That is an area of law that is ever-changing, and as a result, it becomes a challenge to keep up with those various obligations that are associated with that aspect of litigation. Next, vacancies. We currently have two vacant positions, which is first assistant in our loss insurance and control manager, both of which have been posted and the process has been started. In this current fiscal year, we had to put that process on hold, and we recently just started back with the risk manager position, and we expect to have that filled in days, and our first assistant position, we are trying to get that moving soon thereafter, completing and filling the insurance and loss control position. Page 14 basically deals with our contractual services by object code and, our contractual services. And then the following page, 15, deals with all of our breakdown of our budget by object code, most of which generally we have already gone over. Are there any questions?
Councilman Street.
I don't have in front of me, but can you tell us, or can you tell us later, what the actual cost was for outside counsel last year and what you project the budget for this year?
Do we have that number, that exact number with us today? I can get that for you.
And just based on guesstimation, do you envision, or is the budget projected up or down as relates to money for outside counsel?
I get that information to you most certainly, but I can tell you as a policy aspect, as I indicated previously, that is one of our biggest challenges as far as outside counsel is concerned. So I would definitely get those numbers to you in expedited time.
Okay, and
go ahead, Councilman Street.
Y'all are lawyers, not me. Okay, and that's your call, and I don't want you to come back running here crying, talking about we got defeated in court because we didn't hire outside counsel.
Well, I mean, to be clear, I mean, there are certain times that outside counsel is needed or most prudent for a number of reasons, whether it's the intensity of the work, the expertise. A prime example is we hired outside counsel when Fisker filed for bankruptcy. We don't have any bankruptcy lawyers in our camp. We could have tried to do it ourselves, but as a result of hiring outside counsel, where we may have spent, I believe, $35,000 or $30,000, we've recouped our entire, we have recouped, I think, the entire 1.1 in back taxes. So it was well worth it versus trying to go out on a limb on something that is a specialized area of expertise.
And I understand that.
Cowboy Street book.
But I also understand that you got a staff and you already have work that you envision they will be doing. So if you end up in an unexpected trial, I understand that you've got a way whether or not it's going to be an undue due burden on them work-wise as opposed to hiring outside counsel, but that wasn't my point. The point I was trying to get to, I said right here, raised same last year about participation and diversity. And I know there are not a whole lot of minority law firms. However, there are law firms that have minority lawyers. And so when you go to outside counsel, just like we expect contractors to report on who's working, I'm hoping we'll get to a point that when you hire law firms, some of which have some minority lawyers, some of which for years haven't had any, won't have any, and quite frankly, I don't think they should be getting some of our difference. So I'll just be that.
But just, I can expand on that just to give you a feel, if you would like. And the Office of Law, diversity is something that we take very seriously, as is shown by a diversity report. And our diversity doesn't just extend in one specific area or another, but our diversity is throughout our entire organization. And I can tell you that of the of our outside counsel that were hired over the last year or so, I think we may have had approximately, if I'm not mistaken, maybe about 6 or 7, maybe, outside counsel to various issues. And at least 2 of them were minority law firms, minority-owned law firms. And at least 1 of them was a minority attorney and a law firm doing the actual work. So the county's commitment to diversity, particularly as it relates to the Office of Law, is serious, and diversity exists throughout every aspect of this organization.
And you may be right, and maybe it's one side of the aisle versus the other, but sitting in this room, when outside counsel comes in, I haven't seen what you've seen.
Our bankruptcy attorney, Ms. Terry Brown Edwards, came into this room and presented to this council.
Well, maybe I wasn't here.
And I'm sorry, but it exists throughout every aspect of the Office of Law.
Yeah, and good. And I hope you continue down that road. That's my major point.
Any other questions, comments on the Office of Law budget for 2015? Councilman Bell.
Just one question and one comment. The executive assistant that's being transferred from the executive office over to law,
yes.
Is there a particular area that person is needed in, or is it more or less just to support the staff in the law department?
Well, currently it's designed to support the staff, and depending on how things may go as far as the selection of our insurance and loss control manager, that position may go back to the executive office or may stay within the Office of Law.
Okay. And I guess the one comment, Mr. Chairman, members of council, is that I've had an excellent working relationship with yourself, your office, and I think it bears mentioning you know, dealing with public safety, a lot of land use issues down our way, Edenerville. And I've never once not gotten an immediate response, both by email, personal contact, and we spoke many times on weekends and everything. So I just want to convey that to the rest of council, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Councilman. Likewise.
Yeah, I have one comment I'd like to make. I really appreciate the coordination that's going on between police, code enforcement, and the law department on the disorderly premise prosecutions, and looking at all the issues with problem properties from a legal standpoint. This is really an important effort, and I think will remain so. Certainly, we still have plenty of problem properties throughout this county, and an aggressive legal department working with code and police is how we clean up the mess. So I appreciate your efforts in that regard.
I just would like to say that it's not my efforts. I have a great team, and is all the employees from the interns to the county solicitor are top rate, and without them, we couldn't have done what we have done, and I think we have made some significant gains over the last years.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, members of council? Want to move along? Thank you, thank you for that testimony. And I'd like to call the Office of Finance to the table for their FY 2015 recommended budget to county council. Mr. Coop?
Good afternoon, council members.
Doing the presentation, CFO.
Mike Coop, Chief Financial Officer. I do have three representatives, famous representatives. I know you know them all from finance. Ed Milowicki, Mike Matkowitz, and Linda Reed. Two other famous names that you're always familiar with. I know it's Dave Del Grande, Carla Jones. They couldn't make it today because of other issues. So anyway, I know we're probably going to set a record for time today. Are we doing it?
I don't know. Keep going. Okay. We're close. Keep going.
Last but not least.
Last but not least. Okay, if we go to, of course, page one, is our org chart. Page two will take us on to our budget history. We have the light fund, the and the finance, our operating budget. The light is 5 million, up from 4.8. Some of that's due to DP&L increase. We know to put in some new increases. Our operating budget for the finance department is up 3.44%, which you'll see on page three. If you go to page three, you'll see it's strictly the operating recommended budget and past budgets. 3.4% is mostly due to, and basically all due to, salary increases and employee benefits, as with most departments. We go to page four, you can see the breakout of our recommended budget. County, light tax fund, budget office, treasury, and assessment. Budget office is the smallest. Accounting seems large, but that's because it also includes accounts payable and payroll. As you can see, 84% of our, almost 85% of our costs is attributable to personnel costs. And if we move to page five, God bless you. See our positions. 2013 reflects a transfer when the assessment positions were moved over to finance. Page six is a diversity comparison. There hasn't been much change, actually, in the last 3 years. There hasn't been any really hiring changes. Mostly it's been, we've lost two retirements last year on the minority female side. We had one increase on the black professional side. That was a one promotion that I was able to do this year. Not one promotion, that's the only move we made so far this year. Page seven. This is a copy of our budget. The 2014 approved versus 2015 recommended. As you can see, our increase is 3.4, and as I said before, it's the salary and wages, employee benefits.
Question.
Yes.
When you regards to streetlight, those figures reported here, is that just the revenue that we take in?
Yes.
And disperse out to the utility? Okay. Yes.
Okay, just remember, I guess we had informed council a while that it would be an amendment coming to the 2015 budget to raise those rates up a little bit. When we presented the budget, we were unaware from increases that Delmarva passed on. So you'll see an amendment to increase the street rate.
Great. Okay.
Which is why the increase is in here this year.
Okay.
No other questions? We can go to page eight. Page eight is the budget details on the changes. I like to talk about it. If there's no questions, we can skip to page 10. Positions.
We have an increase in here for two assessors, one assessment technician. Trying to increase the assessment staff. Obviously, that's where the funds are coming in order to try and help assessment get caught up on these assessment rolls on the backlog. This will bring them back up, hopefully. And we have a decrease of one confidential assistant. Not necessarily in finance. That would be my confidential assistant, which I deem not necessary at this time.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Bell.
The additional assessors, I know I saw it somewhere here. I'll probably find it again. But it appeared that we've made significant transfer of like 21 assessors from land use into finance. Is that correct?
That was on page five. Okay. Took place in 2013.
Okay. So 21 assessment positions from land use to finance, and there's still a need for two additional?
Yes. Just try to help with the backlog. There is, let me show it all, 21 positions.
So that would take it to 23 assessors?
Right. But they're not all assessors. There's administrative staff, there's technicians.
Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head how many assessors there are, but I'm down there, not that many. But there's a lot of support staff.
I guess what's...
And there is a backlog.
What's a little confusing is it says assessors, so it's saying 21, then it's saying two more. So, I mean, if it was a little bit more definitive, maybe we could kind of... You know, see how
right.
How it's
right. It says transfer 21 assessment positions.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Smiley.
Didn't that just reflect that you transfer, removed the assessment department under
division.
Finance,
division.
The whole division?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd like to recognize that Council President Bullock has joined us.
Well, next we could skip to accomplishments, and here again, I'll be like everyone else, I'm not going to run through any, but I would say that one of the main accomplishments that continues in the finance department is, of course, to continue to collect at least 99% of our taxes and sewer revenues due. We also continue to receive our long-time awards for the comprehensive annual budget summary, comprehensive annual financial report. We're also been working on adding our cashiering system to the libraries to update the collection of monies in the libraries. Assessment was able to also remove various tax-exempt properties and get it back on the tax rolls, resulting in an increase of $58.5 million to our county tax base. And one of our biggest challenges on challenge sides coming up is that most of the software in finance assessment systems are getting old. The software systems are getting very old. It's going to be time in the next year, 2 years, to start upgrading and updating, which obviously is going to require certain expenses coming along down the road for that. We go to page 17, vacancy list. Assessment, you see the assessment technician, assessor one, assessor two. These are the positions we were talking about. Accounting, treasury. I've reduced, rolled back a couple positions, might want to say, to accountant ones, and we also have an account clerk three, because as the director of human resources was saying, I also believe that we should have career ladders and career opportunities. I've been here for 30 some years, Ed's been here for 37 years, Mike Mackowitz, we all had the career opportunity, career ladders, and I think we were getting away. This year, I'll be working with HR to develop a good recruitment program to try and bring in well-qualified applicants. It's one of my biggest goals. After that, we can move on to the breakdown of our contractual services, which are, I'd say, haven't changed much from last year. The biggest reduction here is our asset inventory. We didn't have to do it this year because we do it every 3 years, I believe. Every five years. And I failed to mention, I just saw another famous face, Russ Morris, that you all know is here in attendance today, too. In case there's any revenue questions, Mr. Revenue. If we move from that, after that is our performance standards, which we pretty much went over with goals and objectives. With that,
don't know if there's any other questions. There are any.
Any other questions, comments? Councilman Street.
Well, I'm glad Mr. Pepperkott's still here. During the presentation, he just indicated that, I think it was 50-some-odd nonprofits that were on non-taxing, and they had tax exemption, and they're back on the tax roll.
They're not necessarily nonprofits.
You didn't, he did.
I didn't say nonprofits. I just said removal from the exempt properties list. There'll be various reasons.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Exempt nonprofits could be...
Exempt properties.
Okay.
For various reasons.
And some could be nonprofits.
If they lost their nonprofit status.
Okay. That's my question.
I just didn't have a breakdown.
Okay. I don't have a question. I have a concern about our process by which we make a determination, that it's nonprofit today and it's not nonprofit tomorrow. We haven't lost the federal tax exemption, and then the city maintains the tax exempt status, and in some instances we don't. I just want to make sure we're not being overzealous as it relates to what we're making a determination about as in these nonprofit organizations. And I've had two in my district that I've had to deal with, and both of them lost. I didn't agree, but Officer Law is law, Officer Law, and that final determination, not on your watch, but something I'd like you to look into. And if you're upset about it, he opened the door in his prison.
These could be farmhand exempted. Farmhand exempted.
There's the problem.
Yeah, here you go. Yep.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I'm seeing here under accomplishments about processing sewer bills and making adjustments to different tax and sewer accounts, and understanding what we went through last year with sewer, are we seeing this year that things look as if they're rectified and we're not overcharged, undercharged?
Well, on the Artesian side there was, and obviously there's been, there would eventually become a question, but there has been, United had a small issue too that was confined to a couple hundred properties where they had some reason where part of the upgrade I picked up was the meter read. They have two different reading terminologies too, whereas Artesian was a bill date and a read date, different accumulation of days in between. United had one in some area, and for some reason there was, I'm not sure how it ended up, but it skipped a quarter, so it ended up with a zero and everything got piled into one quarter. But it was picked up by constituent calling in. Everything worked properly. Constituent called in, reported to a county employee who did their due diligence and researched it, and thought it did look more, but did follow the normal procedures of contacting United, and like I say, working with United to look into it, found out that yes, something did happen to this group. She notified her supervisor, notified me, we notified the executive office. We got with United, we got it straightened out. We were able to put a notice out before the bills were due to let them know, put the corrections in the new data, get the data corrected. I let the councilman know, his district it was. So we had that. The other one was recently, which is another similar issue, is every year there's some payments that end up disappearing. No one knows where they really end up. And this year, there was probably, I think there's about 40. That
disappeared?
Well, not necessarily that. It's some of that, some of the electronic payment didn't show up. Just there's ones that had, we switched lockbox companies this year.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that that's the problem. But it's the standard, the post office says it's not their fault. It's no one's fault.
Yeah.
It always ends up being no one's fault. And but some of the delinquencies were for senior like $2.56. I've been debating how many I'll be covering, probably But anyway, we're trying, either that or I have to submit an ordinance for $2.56 penalties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, penalties that range.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing large, but it's nothing extravagant. Last year was definitely an anomaly. And
okay, so this is within a norm,
mm-hmm,
of, and are we, I know this is a little off the subject, but last year after the issue that we had with Artesian, we talked about looking at a new way of billing, something that was much more static, you know, 75% of your overall number of gallons or something that, mm-hmm, that was something beyond, you know, the formula.
And we have started,
okay,
to look at some of that. We started putting maps together to analyze, you know, what all is going to change and what the effects are. Because actually, this was thought about many years ago, studied many years ago too, when everyone stayed status quo. And we're also looking at other ways too. There are other,
mm-hmm,
I know, having a discussion with United, one of the, they said some municipalities, they have, I think out in the Midwest or Western PA, some of them, they just piggyback the sewer bill and have the water company added on to the water bill. But there again, they would be doing the collection.
Yeah, I'm not sure that
right, so,
makes me happy.
Yeah, so take it into looking. I think, you know, we're definitely going to be looking at as many as we can for options. But it's definitely needs to be.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mike, I know we talk about how we do a great job collecting all the outstanding, sewer and property tax bills. Now, we just went through a process where we recovered from Fisker $1.1 million. The bulk of that is going, mm-hmm, to the school district, understandably.
Yes.
But we get that 30% of that $1.1 million. Can you think, are there any outstanding large property tax bills owed to the county? Is there anything hanging out there that's sort of,
you have
kind of number one or two, you know?
There are. Last year I probably could have told you about number one or two, but since I've been on the sewer cycle for this last past year, I could tell you more about sewer. But I one of the interesting things about mobile home is the mobile home issue. Not that
right,
it's necessarily large, but I know you had put a call in, I think, last year about
right,
concerns about the mobile homes. But there's a few large, but nothing like Fisker was.
Okay.
But yes, there are some.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Tagging on to that, did we not have a state law change? Did that make it through all the way through both houses, talking about delinquent taxes? And
for mobile homes?
Well, it started out mobile homes, but then they couldn't segregate, you know, just mobile homes, and they just made it in general. But there was something that went through the last General Assembly related to that. I think it was Danny Short's.
I don't know. See if it.
Bill. But
I don't know what.
Ed.
Yeah, that
they
didn't
killed
really
it.
Work.
Didn't
they,
it go
like? Yeah, they're trying to tie that into the motor vehicle, and as far as you're paying when you get your license. And
they,
mm-hmm, that didn't go any further. I guess it's still down.
We had a,
okay,
we had a committee here, and they killed the committee. I'm sorry, Councilman.
Okay.
Smiling.
Okay.
Yeah, Councilman Smiley.
Don't we have a sweep that needed?
Okay.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just comment. Two comments. One is AAA bond ratings aren't given. They're earned, and I think that our finance does a tremendous job. And I'd also chime in to say that I think our co-chairs of finance do an excellent job working with the finance department and kind of bird-dogging things and staying on top of them.
You're right. I forgot the AAA, and I did forget those other two famous finance names, Councilman Cardi and Councilman Smiley. It's true. Part of the finance team.
More infamous.
Right. You're part of the finance team.
Yeah. <You're likely. laughs>
Flattery will get you nothing.
But it's still nice to have you on the team.
Well, while we're
waiting, like, your medication wears off.
While we're talking about the AAA bond rating, are we going to go to the bond market this summer? When is the next time we will anticipate going for capital bonds?
I'm still saying by summertime for capital projects. Definitely, because there are some projects coming on board, some big
right,
projects. And as I said before, all my years of doing capital project budgeting and the bond deals, you know, you watch the cash balance, and once it starts going down to a certain point, that's when you start making sure you plan. Other than, of course, the market is also a rise. I know I wasn't here once, but I know Mr. Councilman Smiley had said that you know, you don't just go out to the bond market just to have money, then they'll pay interest on it and then sit on it. Years ago, they started the arbitrage restrictions and that, but because rates are so low, there is no arbitrage restriction, but it still doesn't make a lot of sense to just go get money just because the rates are low.
What are you expecting to go, at what level are you expecting to go to bond market?
You're going to pay more than
you get?
Well, the gross amount of bond money.
I'd still say probably between 57 million, especially with the sewer fund.
Okay.
That fund, that northern
right.
sewer work.
Exactly.
Continues.
Okay. Very good. Any, what rates were out there now?
It's going up three.
Three?
I think around that.
Okay.
Probably a little bit lower.
All right, good.
That's still good.
Excellent. Any other questions, comments, our CFO and the finance department fiscal year 2015 budget request? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I guess I'll, with that, entertain a motion to adjourn. Councilman Smiley.
Under other, I just want to remind everyone that this council and the co-chairs of finance agreed a couple of years ago to set up post-budget presentation meetings. The purpose of those meetings are for council and any party of government that wants to come in to discuss that which has been presented to us, as well as get advanced looks at any amendments, proposed changes, or whatever to come forward. First one of them is this Wednesday at 3 o'clock, followed by next Monday, depending on what takes place Wednesday. Last year we had the first one, and I think there was three or four of us at the second one. There really wasn't anything. So if we clean everything up Wednesday, then we'll have discussion as to whether to cancel the Monday one or not. As of right now, we're definitely on for Wednesday to discuss whatever comes forward relative to the budgets. Thank you.
Very important. Thank you.
I guess I'll be on.
Councilman Sheldon.
Yeah, this would be under other. This really, this came up at a couple civic meetings, and this, since Mike's here and Ed's here, the three larger towns, the city and the two towns, I'm just going to say Newark and Middletown, and the city of Wilmington, they're prorated, and I was trying to explain this, and they said, well, what services, what do they pay us for, and what services do the county give to those three municipalities, I guess it would say?
Well, one
could we, yeah, could we just, I guess you don't have to tell me now. I'd expect you to tell me.
Oh, okay. I'm sure we have that. Because
yeah, because I'd like to be able to say, you know, when I'm sitting there or standing, this is what they pay and this is what they get. This is what you pay and this is all you get, you know, because everybody's wanting to say, well, these, somebody gets more than.
Yeah, because there's a big category that's broken out, which is called general service, which is like paramedics, libraries,
right.
parks.
And I told her, I was able to say that, but I didn't get into anything else.
Then there's the individual breakdown for different incorporated areas, which might be the planning, the land use,
police
obviously.
Having you like come, having you come to our meeting.
Well, we can stick it to, yeah, you don't have to go too in depth with the smaller ones, but maybe just the three so I could explain that much.
So
I appreciate
that.
It.
Councilman Powers.
I think it probably should be more than just the three, especially when you're hitting the municipalities.
We have it all.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I've seen the rates. You
take
know,
what
the
you
percentage
want.
Of what just is paid, but what they're paying for. Because, like, Middletown only pays 20% of the people living out of town.
And I
need to explain that a lot, especially when I represent both areas.
No, right.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a breakdown of what's in that rate.
Townsend, we do some of the stuff, but they have state police. It's all
okay.
And Smyrna will be the next one because they're about running the sewer line right now into Newcastle County, and they are going to start hooking up and doing stuff there. So, and Clayton is in Newcastle County, and I don't think that's really real soon yet. So I got more.
I'll give you that for when. Hold me up to Wednesday. So I'll be out of town tomorrow.
That's fine.
Anyway,
yeah.
Finance committee, and got a big day on council tomorrow, so I'd like to go on. But I'll have it for you by Wednesday. We
Good.
Have it.
Good. It's
just going back to the
it's
office.
Good to know to tell everybody, because I got a little strip in Newark now since the redistricting. It's the only municipality, so that's all I wanted to know.
Well, that's why I needed to see it, too, because I need to know what it was about.
You don't pay as much as you.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Got a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Make progress.
Hello.